I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Russian politicians, from President Medvedev on down, say they're sick and tired of Russia getting kicked around by the West. Actually, Russians are unhappy about a lot of things. One of them is NATO's expansion, reaching Russia's borders. Another irritant, Western backing for Kosovo's independence, despite Moscow's objections. In response, Russia has been doing a little muscle flexing. Last summer's intervention in Georgia was the most startling example. Russia is also reestablishing relations with old clients such as Syria and Cuba, and it's making new friends such as Venezuela. The Russian Navy is going to take part in joint exercises with Venezuela in the Caribbean later on this month. But as Laura Lynch reports from Moscow, muscle flexing depends on military might.
In a cold, cramped, and crumbling office building in downtown Moscow, Konstantin Valereyevich is fighting for the chance not to serve his country. Valereyevich has received his draft notice. So today he's visiting the Committee of Soldiers' Mothers, a group dedicated to fighting for the rights of conscripts, for advice on how to get around the draft. With his goatee, skinny frame, and gentle demeanor, he hardly looks the part of a soldier.
I'd prefer not to serve. For me, it's not a way to advance. I'd prefer the system, if I'm not mistaken, that they have in Tatarstan or Kazakhstan. If you don't want to serve, you just pay another conscript who then serves instead of you. I'd like such a system to be imposed in Russia.
Every year, 130,000 young men are drafted into 12 months of service. This year, some of them had a real war on their hands. Military analyst Pavel Felgenhauer says the 60,000-strong force that marched into battle against Georgia was no match for its weaker opponent.
So we deployed overwhelming force, and military victory is basically assured, but there are problems. And the Russian military, the Russian generals right now are actually openly talking about those problems because they hope that this could bring them much-needed increases in defense spending.
The problems are downright embarrassing for the former Soviet military giant. Commanders fighting Georgian troops had to carry out sensitive communications with cell phones connected through Georgian networks. And Felgenhauer points to other problems on the road to war.
The best units have still old Soviet equipment. It breaks down all the time. And during the that encounter fighting in South Ossetia, there was only one road moved from which troops and equipment were moved from the Russian border. And there were constant traffic jams there because equipment was breaking down. Tanks, trucks, and everything were breaking down.
None of this helps boost morale among the troops. You can see how bad that is on the Russian version of YouTube. This is the soundtrack from a video made by an army lieutenant complaining about the living conditions in his barracks in St. Petersburg. Written as a musical letter to the Minister of Defense, it features footage of decrepit buildings. The lieutenant did get a reply. He was exiled to a small town in Russia's Far East. Yet even Kremlin backers like politician Gennady Gudkov acknowledge the problem.
Unfortunately, we didn't modernize the army in the 1990s. So the amount of outdated equipment is big, and the government's efforts are needed. I myself criticize the government for sluggishness.
There are now ambitious plans for military reform. The bloated ranks of senior officers are set to be slimmed down, and the armed forces will be redesigned from a huge mass mobilization reserve army to a smaller, more responsive, fast-moving force. Former Red Army commander Alexander Goltz is a Cold War veteran. Goltz acknowledges that most Russian military figures know the United States and NATO haven't got Moscow in their sights.
It's absolutely clear that all this rhetoric about possible military threat from NATO to Russia just have no sense.
That doesn't mean there isn't still rhetoric from the Russian side, including from politician Gudkov, who himself used to be a KGB agent.
I also see an excessive and unjustified expansion of NATO, plus deployment of military facilities close to Russian borders. That leads to the destruction of relations and trust between NATO members, the EU members, the US and Russia. It revives old fears of military dangers that can come from NATO.
But all that talk belies the fact that the smaller, more professional army Russia is aiming for is an army tailored more to fight terrorism than huge battles against the United States. Analyst Pavel Felgenhauer says that's why people need to watch what the military is doing rather than listen to what the politicians are declaring for a domestic audience.
So we're sort of moving in a direction militarily where we will not be less opposed to the West, while politically we're getting more and more opposed to the West.
There is one more troubling reality for Moscow. Its plans to overhaul its creaky military are expensive and time-consuming. Last year, it launched a $189 billion program stretched over 8 years to upgrade everything from weapons systems to salaries and benefits for troops. But this year's economic crunch, coupled with the falling price of oil and gas, may mean it will take many years for Russia to become the fighting force it wants to be. For The World, I'm Laura Lynch in Moscow.